20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's going on, Packers fans? Happy Super Bowl week and happy Monday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at AndyHermanNFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Thanks so much for joining. If you'd be ever so kind as to like, subscribe, comment, and give those five-star reviews, we appreciate that a ton. It is Super Bowl week. We're not going to be diving a ton into that, but what we are going to be diving into is some player trades, some players that are currently on this Packers roster that could have trade value, whether it be a player for player trade or whether Green Bay maybe wants to try to get some draft capital because they're missing out on a first round pick and maybe want to get maybe a little bit more trade value coming up ahead of this year's draft. We'll talk through all of that, players that could get traded some point this offseason, whether during the draft, before free agency, etc. We'll dive in. Before we get there, just a couple of pieces of news and notes. We have a new LaFleur as a head coach, not in Green Bay, but Matt LaFleur's brother, Mike LaFleur, is the new head coach of the Arizona Cardinals. So as I joked on Twitter, when you say fire LaFleur, you're going to have to be a little bit more specific now because his brother, Mike, is now the head coach of the Arizona Cardinals. Cool for the LaFleur family. I'm sure a little bit interesting if the Cardinals and Packers ever face off, but really cool. Nonetheless, I'm sure Matt is beaming with the fact that his brother, Mike, is now a head coach in the league, but we do have dueling LaFleurs now in the NFL. Meanwhile, Sean Duggan is officially the defensive coordinator in Miami. That was reported a little bit more in detail, Adam Schefter, etc., on Sunday. So that is going to happen. Green Bay loses their linebackers coach to Jeff Hafley. I know Justice Mosqueda, amongst others, were on the get rid of Duggan bandwagon anyway. Well, this opens up that linebackers coach spot in Green Bay, which has already been filled. We've known about this in Green Bay already, but we digress. It is now official in the Miami land. Adam Stenovich, meanwhile, could Adam Stenovich still have an opportunity to land an offensive coordinator spot? Well, Clint Kubiak, offensive coordinator for Seattle, by all accounts and reports, is going to be the Raiders head coach as soon as the Super Bowl is done. He will take that final vacancy, and with that comes an open offensive coordinator spot in Seattle. And guess what? Adam Stenovich just happened to be a finalist for that position when they hired Clint Kubiak. Could Steno be a finalist again, or could he actually get the job this time? Possibly. That would be a play calling job in Seattle under Mike McDonald, and a huge opportunity for Steno if you were to get that interview, because you're arguably coaching the offense for potentially the Super Bowl winners. I think the likely Super Bowl winners. So that would be a huge opportunity for Adam Stenovich. We'll see if he gets that. If he would, that would open up that offensive coordinator job in Green Bay. More to come on that after the Super Bowl to see if Steno actually gets that opportunity or not. Meanwhile, if you missed yesterday or Saturday's episode, I know the episodes on Saturday and Sunday are usually a little bit less listened to just because it's the weekend. Highly recommend checking those out. We went over extension candidates on Saturday, Tucker Kraft, Christian Watson headlining that group for Green Bay. We also went over a consensus draft during Brian Gutekunst's era. Basically, who drafted better, the consensus draft board or Brian Gutekunst? It was a really fun episode yesterday. If you haven't checked that out yet, make sure to do so. That brings us to our main topic for today, which is Packers trade candidates for this offseason. We're going to start, and I don't want to spend a ton of time on this, but we're going to start with Jordan Love. Not because I am proposing trading Jordan Love, but because every once in a while, I will see somebody on social media or on a comment on one of the videos or in an article elsewhere saying what Green Bay should do this offseason is trade away Jordan Love for premium draft picks, and then resign Malik Willis. That makes sense. We've seen Malik Willis. The offense looks really good with him. Awesome. You can get him for cheaper than Jordan Love. And so you save money there. You are able to keep Malik Willis. Jordan Love would have a ton of trade value on the open market. So trade him for a couple first-round draft picks, maybe, and then some. And voila, you've got a still successful quarterback in Green Bay. You add a couple first-round picks, and you're set. And you're cheaper at quarterback. It makes all the sense in the world. Listen, like I said, I'm not going to spend a ton of time on this, but I understand and appreciate the logic to some extent. The what we just laid out, it makes some sense. Malik Willis, successful in Green Bay, save money at quarterback, get a couple first-round picks, get some new young talent in, utilize the money that you saved on Jordan Love to go maybe get a free agent or two. The logic is... it's probably wrong just because Jordan is as good as he is, and you don't give up a quarterback that talented ever. But outside of that, I can understand why somebody would propose something like that. Here's the thing. And here's why, even if you got to that level of logic, which again, I disagree with just because Jordan's too good and you hold on to that quarterback as long as you possibly can because he's that good. But outside of that, here's why it's not possible. Jordan Love would immediately have a $50 million dead cap hit this year. Now, he has a $36 million cap hit anyway, so it's only an additional $14 million. That in and of itself is not a huge deal breaker. Now, you might say, well, what about if it's after June 1st? Well, if it's after June 1st, then you're not getting draft picks from this year. The team is going to want that's trading for him is going to want him ahead of time and start getting in the building. A post-June 1st trade is not realistic. And now you have to carry him through June 1st and sign Malik Willis to a contract. It's just all not possible. So it'd have to be before the draft so you can get the draft picks and everything. That's going to come with a $50 million dead cap hit, and it's going to cost you an additional $14 million this year. I should mention Green Bay is pretty tight against the cap, so that's going to be a problem in and of itself. But now you have to re-sign Malik Willis. And what's expected to be around the going rate for Malik Willis is a two-year, $50 million deal, somewhere in that range. Maybe it's 2 years 40, but 2 years 50, so about $25 million per year. Now, maybe you can get that down to 10, 12 million in the first year. Okay. But now you've got 14 million in dead cap for Jordan in additional to what you are already set to pay him. So there's 14 million more gone. And now let's say it's 12 million additional for Malik Willis. All right. That's now 26 million in additional salary cap space. Let's say you get the New York Jets' second and 16th pick in this year's draft. And then maybe some stuff in future drafts too, maybe a future second and fourth or something like that. Maybe it's a future first. I don't know what it would be, but let's just say they get the second and 16th this year and then future stuff as well. Well, the second and 16th pick are going to cost you an additional $13.5-14 million in salary cap this year. And let me just tell you, $14 million for those two draft picks plus $14 million in additional for Jordan Love is $28 million, plus an additional $12 million for Malik Willis is an additional $40 million. Green Bay does not have an additional $40 million in cap space to run around with to do all of this. So even if you are the firmest believer in the world of, hey, I trust Malik Willis to the nth degree, I think he can be as good or better than Jordan Love, which I think your logic is flawed in that argument in and of itself, but even if you jump to that conclusion, okay? And even if we followed that logic, taking on all of that additional salary in 2026 is not a reasonable outcome. It's not possible for Green Bay to do it. Possible is probably the wrong word. Could you theoretically do it and cut a bunch of players and restructure a bunch of players and make it work? Sure, you could. Do I think that that's the best idea for Green Bay and have that much salary cap space into dead cap hit for Jordan, plus having that additional money for Malik Willis? You're just robbing Peter to pay Paul, and you're in a worse quarterback situation. That's not good business. So again, I don't want to spend any more time on it. It's not logical. It can't really happen. It's not going to happen. So we're going to cut that one off at the head right there. And then we'll follow it up by going over Malik Willis, because this is another popular one that I see crop up from time to time. Malik Willis, unrestricted free agent. Well, this is simple. We saw what they did with Devontae Adams. You franchise tag him, and then you trade him. Okay, let's walk through that. Malik Willis on the franchise tag gets a 1 year. Do you want to guess what that salary is? Well, it's probably around like, what, 27, maybe 30 million for a franchise tag for a quarterback. It's $47.32 million on a 1 year franchise tag. And guess what? The expected, again, salary for Malik Willis on a two-year deal is somewhere between $40 and $50 million. He might not get $47 million on a two-year deal. And so if you franchise tag him, the smartest thing that the agent could do is run and sign that immediately and then go from there, because you're getting more in 1 year than what he would have gotten on 2 years on the open market in all likelihood. So you sign that franchise tag right away, which means Green Bay, even before that, has to open up $47 million in salary cap space. All right, let's once again jump through the logic hoops here. Let's just say Green Bay even was willing to do that, and they somehow found a way to open up $47 million in salary cap space to franchise tag him and put him on the roster so that they could trade him. Well, guess what? Malik Willis on the open market, again, probably getting somewhere between $40 and $50 million on a two-year deal. That's what his going rate's going to be. The going rate is not going to be $47 million, which means you may have just taken all of his suitors, and all of them might now be saying, well, we're good. We were interested in Malik Willis on $20 to $25 million per year. We have no interest in Malik Willis at $47 million per year. Even if you did, the trade value for him is now tanked. And you maybe, to get somebody to take that deal off of your hands, at very best, in fact, I don't think that there's a market for that, period, end of story, but at very best, you're talking about maybe getting some sort of conditional seventh round pick for him at that point in time. You're not going to get this valuable draft pick for Malik Willis now, whereas if he does sign for 25, maybe even 26, 27 million on the open market, you could be flirting with a third round comp pick. And at worst, you're getting a fourth round comp pick. And so why would you franchise tag him and do all of that work to open up the salary cap space when somebody might not want him, and you're undercutting what is possibly a third or fourth round pick for what becomes a seventh round pick? So any idea that you have of franchising Malik Willis and, you know, tagging him and then signing him to that deal and hoping to trade him, the salary cap space really doesn't work for Green Bay to do that in the first place. But even if you could get there, you have ended up costing yourself a draft pick. Not good business for Green Bay. So suffice to say, if we're looking at trade candidates, Jordan Love, Malik Willis, two names that are not on that list. Let's jump to running back. Let's talk about just Josh Jacobs very briefly. Would Josh Jacobs have some trade value? Maybe. Maybe they would have, you know, some ability to recoup some draft pick for him. He would cost $11.5 million for the acquiring team. Do I think some team might have an appetite for that? Maybe. Maybe. But what you're probably getting is some sort of sixth, seventh round pick. You're not going to get anything of value. And so because of that, first and foremost, I don't see Green Bay having any interest really in getting rid of Josh Jacobs at this point in time. Could be wrong. I didn't think they'd have any interest in getting rid of Aaron Jones when they got rid of Aaron Jones, and they did that. And so maybe there's a possibility they could. And if they did decide to go in that direction, then of course you would want to trade him for anything rather than just releasing him. But I just can't imagine that Green Bay is going to have that appetite to try to trade him away when you have really nothing that you can count on right now at the running back position. You would have to basically either trade or release him and then try to get somebody like a Kenneth Walker or Breece Hall in free agency to get younger, you know, maybe a little bit more fresh legs than Jacobs has, and kind of do what you did to Aaron Jones to get Josh Jacobs. Now you're doing to Josh Jacobs to get that next running back. So yeah, if you could get a sixth, seventh round pick, and then if you wanted to go in that direction, you could. I just don't see it. I think Green Bay is going to want him back. I think he's a key integral piece to the locker room. I think he's still a really good running back. I think he played at a high level, just didn't have the blocking. I just don't see it. Just don't see it for Green Bay. We'll be right back. Well, we made it. The big game is almost here. And there's no better way to cash in during America's biggest sporting event than Prize Picks, where it always feels good to be right. This week, Prize Picks has a special max discount for the big game, live in the app right now. Drake May just needs one passing yard for the max discount to win. Just add another player to your lineup, and if your picks hit, you can cash in. Now, Prize Picks is super simple to play. Just pick more or less on 2-6 player stat projections, and if you get your picks right, you could cash in. And with the new social feeds feature, you can share Prize Picks with your friends and copy lineups from winners with a single click. You can copy lineups that you like or use them as inspiration for your own picks. You can even follow Prize Picks partners like us and tail or fade our picks with just one click. One of my favorite aspects about Prize Picks is making multiple sports picks in the same lineup. With football coming to an end, I love combining basketball and hockey in the same lineup. And guess what? Baseball is going to be here before you know it as well. So download the Prize Picks app today and use code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks. It's good to be right. The next one is one that I floated on a couple of the live shows. I don't love this idea. Let me just be crystal clear. But let's talk about Jayne Reed for a moment. Jayne Reed, you're not going to get any major salary cap savings. You save about $1.7 million, but any acquiring player, even if it's a vet minimum player, is going to cost about $900,000. So you at best save $800,000. You're not, it doesn't matter, right? That's couch cushion money in the NFL. But let's just say Green Bay has figured out that they are not in the extend Jayne Reed camp. They're just not going to do it. Once 2026 is up, they're going to let him leave in free agency. Maybe they've had some initial conversations with Jayne Reed and Green Bay's thinking, hey, maybe $12 million a year. And Jayne Reed and his agents are like, haha, $20 to $22 million per year. And the gap is just so wide that Green Bay already knows we're just not even going to look in that direction. Jayne Reed's going to be a free agent in 2027 and we're going to let him walk. Well, if you get to that point, then maybe you have to look at, well, what can we get now for a trade for Jayne Reed? And I think even then, the only way that you get to this place is Romeo Doubs. Meaning, you have those conversations with Romeo to keep him in Green Bay, and maybe the contract is less than you were expecting. Maybe you were expecting Romeo to get 15 or 16, and maybe he's open to 11 or 12 to stay in Green Bay. Or maybe his market just doesn't, you know, hit the way that they were expecting, and maybe he stays around 11 or 12 mil. If you could get Romeo for a three-year, $33 million deal, which, by the way, I don't think is going to happen, but maybe he's cheaper than you expected and you keep him in Green Bay. All right, well, now you have a surplus of wide receivers and Jayne Reed now becomes very capable of being traded, especially with Matthew Golden probably ready to take that spot a little bit more in the slot. Plus Wicks can play in the slot. Watson can play in the slot. You don't really need specifically Jayne Reed to play that slot-only position in Green Bay. So if you recognize that you're out of the Jayne Reed business moving forward, and you somehow find a way to get Romeo Doubs back, and now you've got Doubs, Watson, Wicks, Golden, Savion Williams, probably some sort of mid to late round draft pick at wide receiver as well, plus some other, you know, depth pieces on the practice squad that are coming over from last year, you have the competition and the depth that you need at wide receiver, you could look to trade away Jayne Reed. Well, what could you potentially get in return? You know, you could just look at draft capital, and mileage may vary as to what you think Green Bay could get in trade value for a, you know, draft pick, right? Maybe it's I would probably guess like a fourth round pick. I think that sounds probably about right for Jayden. There's not a ton of appetite for a slot only wide receiver that's a little bit undersized. You might think there'd be a little bit more. On his contract, which is super cheap on a one-year deal, there probably would be. I think you're probably talking about a fourth-round pick. But let me throw a name out there for you. I think if Green Bay were to trade Jayne Reed, it would be not to get a draft pick, not to get a draft and develop sort of player, but could you get a young, talented player at a different position that would make sense for Green Bay? You might be thinking, well, who would that be? I've got a name for you. How about Mike McCarthy's Pittsburgh Steelers? And maybe Aaron Rodgers, Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, there's no real connection there to any large extent with Jayne Reed, but they could use a slot receiver. They've got DK Metcalf and then a bunch of meh in the passing game kind of after that. Kelvin Austin is set to be a free agent. Jayne Reed would fit perfectly in the slot in Pittsburgh, regardless of who's quarterback. He'd make a ton of sense as a playmaker for them. Who are you thinking in return? Well, we're thinking corners, defensive tackles, offensive linemen, right? That's what Green Bay would probably be interested in. What about Keanu Benton? Keanu Benton's a really interesting name. You have Cam Hayward and Derek Harmon as your two kind of primary inside players. Benton's had a couple really good years in Pittsburgh. He's coming off arguably his worst year this last year, but he's still a good run defender, provides a little bit of pass rush. I thought he came on a little bit more towards the end of the season, and he's a super talented defensive tackle. They were both drafted in the second round of the same draft. Pittsburgh might be saying, hey, we already got Harmon as our long-term guy. We're not going to give a huge extension to Benton. Green Bay, again, might not be thinking about giving that huge extension to Jayne Reed. And a like-for-like swap might make sense for both sides. Pittsburgh's defense is still in a pretty good spot overall. They got a lot of talented players up front. Again, they've got Hayward and Harmon as their key defensive tackles. They've got some depth there. They might feel like, hey, we would prefer having the playmaker in Jayne Reed. And Green Bay, as they try to fix defensive tackle, corner, and offensive line all in one offseason with limited resources and with limited draft picks, they might say, hey, we get a cheap young defensive tackle. Benton and Wyatt together on that defensive line look really, really good with Colby Wooden as the three. I like how that sounds. I like how that looks. We can figure out offense. Even if you don't have Dobbs back, you still have Matthew Golden, Dontavian Wicks, Christian Watson, Savion Williams, Tucker Kraft, Josh Jacobs. You probably add a couple pieces where you can add some depth to that room if need be. I think you could probably get by. And you, in the meantime, again, you add a very cheap, very talented defensive tackle. That would be one that I think would make sense for both sides. I'll say one more time, I'm not an advocate here of trading Jaden Reed. I think you're better off keeping him in Green Bay. I think a lot of times when you get to these type of deals, you are sort of robbing Peter to pay Paul, meaning you're taking from one position to try to get another. Could this one work? I think it could, but all of a sudden, let's say Dobbs isn't back. And let's say you do move on from Jaden Reed. Well, now, yes, you do have a little bit of depth here, but Savion's not, at least he hasn't been quite ready yet. You're now down to three primary wide receivers. You now have Wicks, Golden, and Watson, assuming Dobbs is out the door. That to me is not quite enough. Even with Kraft coming back from injury, that it just feels like you're a little light there now. And now Wicks, Golden, and Dobbs are, or sorry, Wicks, Golden, and Watson are basically forced to play a ton because you don't really have the depth at that position. Now, again, if you bring Dobbs back or find it somewhere else, okay, so be it. But I personally would just keep Jaden and then figure out the rest later. But if you could get Keanu Benton from Pittsburgh, that would be a very interesting trade where it gets Pittsburgh a nice offensive player, Green Bay gets a nice defensive player, and maybe it takes from one of your strengths that you still potentially have, depending on what you do with Dobbs, et cetera, and gives you a position of weakness that is now improved from that trade. Just an interesting one that I would at least consider if I were Green Bay if something like that came up. Dontavian Wicks, maybe you could get a late round pick for him. I don't think you have the appetite to do that. I just think he has more value in Green Bay and more value as a depth piece than getting some sort of late round pick for him at this point in time. And you probably get a comp pick for him down the road anyway. I just think you're better off keeping him. Rashawn Gary. We've talked about Rashawn a lot. The writing should be on the wall for moving on from Rashawn. What Green Bay does, your guess is as good as mine. We know they stay loyal in these situations. I do know they'd probably prefer to get something in return rather than just releasing him, then they might think about, well, can we change his contract, restructure it, do something? But if you get something in return that changes it, I just don't think that there's going to be a team that's super interested in taking on Rashawn Gary for what would basically amount to a one-year $19.5 million deal this year. Would you be interested? If for Rashawn Gary, would you want to trade something for a one-year $19.5 million deal for Rashawn Gary? I would not. In fact, again, I'm calling for Green Bay to release him from that. And so, no, I certainly would not want to trade something for that. And I think the rest of the league is going to see it the same way. If he does, it's going to be something very late day three. All right. And if you can get it, great. I don't expect it. But maybe some team says, hey, we've seen really good Rashawn Gary. Maybe they're trying to confirm their priors. They really liked him coming out of the draft, or who knows? Maybe it's Mike McCarthy that loves him. I don't know, but I don't see it. He's a really good run defender, so maybe you could trade him to Dallas for something exorbitant. You never know with Jerry Jones, but I think for the most part, Rashawn probably does not have trade value. I talked about this player a little bit the other day, and I'm going to say this one more time. I know it sounds insane. I know what I'm about to say sounds insane. Justice brought it up the other day as well. I actually do think Keyshawn Nixon has some trade value. I actually said his number wrong. He's going to make about $7 million on the salary cap for Green Bay this year. But for the acquiring team, it's a one-year $5 million deal. And even if some team just wanted to use him as a returner, we have seen the going rate for a primary returner be about 1 year's $5 million. And he's got experience playing slot corner, outside corner. He's been a starter. Do you want him as your 1A corner? No. But are you okay with him being your number two or number three? Number three corner that can play slot and outside for $5 million plus has kick return ability if he's willing to do it, or if you're at least willing to force him to do it, that has good value. We're not talking about much. I'm not saying you're going to get something crazy, but I actually do think he would have some trade value in that situation. Some team, there's a lot of teams with really bad corners, just really bad corners. And if you have a starting caliber player that's played a bunch in the NFL, it usually has value, especially if they're only making $5 million. So sixth round pick, something like that. I could see it. And the way that Green Bay would get there would be is if Green Bay is like willing to have him back, but Nixon says, I want an extension. Now, this is where you run into an issue as well, because he's going to want an extension with his new team as well. And then that team is like, nah, we don't actually want to give up a pick for that. We would only want to keep him on the 1 year, $5 million. I think if Keyshawn's fine with staying on that deal, then Green Bay probably just keeps him. But if there's a rubber meets the road moment, or if Green Bay is just willing to remake that position entirely, maybe, just maybe, they could find a late round pick for him in return. Carrington Valentine, same kind of conversation of, he's been a starting corner. He's got some pretty good coverage skills. He's a terrible tackler, but cornerback is thin around the NFL. And would some team be willing to give up a conditional seventh? Maybe. It's a close call. I would lean maybe towards probably not. But if you told me that some team gave up a conditional 2027 seventh round pick for Carrington Valentine, I wouldn't be shocked by that. He might have some value again if Green Bay wants to remake that room a little bit. I don't think Nate Hobbs's value, it'd be a 1 year, $9.5 million deal. Wasn't healthy, didn't play well, kind of just a slot only guy. I don't see it. I know Justice kind of brought up maybe he has some value. I don't think so. I just don't. But maybe I hope I'm wrong. And if they want to trade him, I hope they get something for him. But I think he probably would just be a cut candidate. We'll be right back. Last but not least is Javon Bullard. I talked about this one too on the live shows. I will say, just like I did with Jaden Reed, I would just keep Javon Bullard. I think he's too fun of a player. I love watching him play. He provides depth for you at multiple positions, both in the slot and at safety. I have no real interest in trading Javon, but let's play it out. Let's have the conversation. The reason for doing it is you have Evan Williams and Xavier McKinney as your starting safeties. And you could probably even make the argument, if you bring back Zane Anderson on a cheap deal, that Zane Anderson and Ketan Oladapo are more than worthy of being two good backups on any given team, that you actually have some good depth there. And I think those are fair arguments. You could also go a step further and say, Nate Hobbs, if you just end up keeping that contract, is clearly a slot corner. That's where he needs to be. And he might actually be pretty good at it. In fact, is probably a little bit better of a pure cover player than Javon Bullard. I love Javon in that spot and the way that he's played and how he's attacked it with physicality. Again, I just keep him. But if you wanted to get to the idea of, we've got two really good safeties, we've got depth, we've got a slot corner, well, what could we get in return? I don't think, again, you're not trading for a draft pick here. It'd have to be a player for player. Could you get a corner, defensive tackle, or an offensive lineman, one of your real positions of need? Well, I've got a name for you. This is one I floated around at the trade deadline last year as well. Jerrion Jones, corner for Jacksonville. He's played some really good football going into year three. You get him really cheap, same draft class as Javon Bullard. You look at Jacksonville, if they either bring back Monteric Brown or Greg Newsome, then they have enough depth at the position. They don't really need another corner. Do I think they'd like to keep him? Absolutely. But safety, outside of Antonio Johnson, is not really where you want it to be right now. You've got Eric Murray, who's older, and you could save some money off of him. And Wingard is a free agent for them. And they have that spot open next to Johnson. And with that, Johnson and Bullard would make one of the better safety duos in the NFL, in my opinion, if they feel comfortable at corner, which they could. Jones is not a full-time, was not a full-time player for them this past year. Being able to trade a safety for a corner, if you think he's going to be a full-time corner for you, that's a deal that might make a little bit of sense for both sides. I think Bullard's the better player, but I think Green Bay needs corner more. I think you could argue Jacksonville needs safety more, and you could argue that just corner, again, is the far more important position that you're desperately in need of right now. I think Jerrion Jones would immediately become the best cover corner on Green Bay's roster. That's not saying much. I get that, but I think he'd immediately become their best cover corner. That's not nothing. Would I consider it? Sure, I would consider it. My ultimate answer here is, all right, well, could you just trade draft capital for Jerrion Jones in that situation? Maybe the answer is no, but I would love to keep Bullard. I really don't want to see him go anywhere, but I do think he would have some fun trade value if, again, you wanted to trade from a position of strength. Couple other just honorable mentions. Would Xavier McKinney have some trade value? I think so. I have no interest in doing anything with that. Just keep your all-pro safety. That's good business when you're a Super Bowl contender. Do I think Devontae Wyatt would have some trade value? I think so. I think a little bit, not a ton. But again, why are you trading from a position of weakness here already? Maybe you just realize that, hey, Wyatt doesn't stay healthy and he always ends up missing some games and he disappears in some games after going out with injury. Maybe there's something there, but I don't think you have the the luxury of trading away your best defensive tackle from an already weak group. So I wouldn't do that either. So Jordan Love, not possible. Not at least in any real sense. Malik Willis, no freaking way. Again, the franchise tag is just too much. Josh Jacobs, probably not. Would be stunned. Jaden Reed's fun, interesting, good conversation. If you bring back Dobbs, it could be something that you really look at. Keanu Benton would be a great trade option there. Unlikely. I would hang on to him. Wicks probably has more value to you than anywhere else. You probably get a better comp pick for him later. I don't think Gary has trade value. Nixon does, but if he's going to play for 1 year, $5 million, I bet Green Bay just wants to keep on, hang on to him for that deal. I don't think Nate Hobbs has value, and maybe Bullard. Bullard for sure does, but I think he, again, is super valuable to Green Bay, and I don't think he probably goes anywhere either. For the most part, the final answer here is I don't see a major trade of somebody that's on Green Bay's roster right now going somewhere else for something in return. I think it's very unlikely, which again, we very rarely see player for player trades. And I don't think Green Bay is just going to be trading away good assets for draft capital. They're trying to win a Super Bowl here and now. That doesn't make sense either. So the final answer is probably not a ton. If there is something, Jaden Reed, Javon Bullard, trading from positions of strength to maybe enhance a position of weakness could be some sense. Keanu Benton, Jerrion Jones, two names that I would personally at least have interest in if Green Bay wanted to go in that direction. That is going to do it for me today. Thank you so much for joining me. I appreciate you all so freaking much. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Alex Hwang, Peter Rataka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gesford, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Willie Winkle-Sinkle, The Gable Storm, Pack Attack Cast, Chris Weish, Craig, John D. Metropolis, Tater Radomski, Devin Lane, Alexander Newell, Bill Reinhart, Richard Morales, Les Nienow, Beast Bumblebee, Benjamin Sargent, Christian Bradley, Steve Bates, John Mark Lydell, Nemo, Donald Decker, Damon Hartley, and Zilch Zillertson. I'll see you guys tomorrow. Actually, I'll see you hopefully today. Members Q&A coming up at 3 p.m. Central Time. Hope to see you guys there. Otherwise, I'll see you guys tomorrow morning. But until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.